Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air.
Happy Thanksgiving,
everyone. And we're going to finish the story of Home for Thanksgiving now. Well, Bill and Linda, thanks for coming to our program today for Thanksgiving. We're glad to have you here.
We're thankful to be here.
Great to be back, Doris.
And, you know, we might be kind of thinking about our families way off in another country, but Thanksgiving, I'll take you out for Thanksgiving dinner afterwards. How about that? Sounds like a good deal.
That sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, turkey and food.
Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie.
You were thinking of pumpkin pie, Linda.
I was thinking of pumpkin pie.
And you know what? Nuts and I don't know what else. A lot of special things. We have
Stuffing.
Pumpkins. Oh, I love
the stuffing inside the turkey.
Sweet potatoes. I don't know.
Yeah.
And gravy.
Well, those all sound like, you know, American kind of things. But, you know, sometimes I've been to Chinese families in America, and they even have Chinese food on Thanksgiving sometimes. Did you know that?
Yes.
So you don't have to eat turkey.
It's allowed, you know.
Yeah, you don't have
all
to eat
food
turkey.
Is good.
Okay.
But don't forget the cranberry sauce.
And don't forget to be thankful. All
that's
right. That's
mm-hmm.
good. Well, our article is a story that we mentioned written by Catherine Sepkup. One of our interns, and she did a good job on the story, and I thought it was pretty interesting because the story has a good plot to it. Tell us more about the story on pages 42 and 43.
Well, the story starts with Samuel. He's kind of our star here, and he wasn't having a good week for several reasons, right, Bill?
Yeah, he had gone to the bank. He wanted to get a loan to start a freelance business. But he was turned down by the bank. Maybe he didn't have enough income, maybe not enough assets. And so the bank says, sorry.
And then the brakes on his car failed, so he had to pay to have them fixed. And then his grandfather asked him to fly across the entire United States to please come home for Thanksgiving for a big family reunion. And where is he going to get the money for all this?
Well, he probably had the time, though, because everybody has free time. Those are good holiday days in the United States, Thursday and Friday, Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. It's a real holiday time.
It is.
Yeah, everybody's off. But the problem is, if you want to go anywhere on Thanksgiving, you better make these travel plans well in advance. Well, here, Samuel was just getting notice of this very shortly before Thanksgiving. So it's going to be difficult and expensive.
But he didn't want to say no to his grandfather because I think he probably knew his grandfather very well. And when he was reading the letter that his grandfather wrote asking him to come, he noticed it says in here a tone of urgency, which means that there was a reason why he wanted him to come. And I'm sure Samuel.
I don't know if he read the letter or he called him on his cell phone. It says he asked him unexpectedly. Did you read a letter?
In his grandfather's letter.
Oh, he sent a letter. Okay.
Right.
His grandfather's still writing letters?
Should
call him on his cell phone.
I know. Right? Or sent an email.
Yeah, right. Send him an email.
His
Maybe.
Grandfather's old-fashioned.
Oh, okay,
so.
But anyway.
I did like that. I love that term urgency, and I want to highlight that. We're going to talk about a couple things from yesterday. One, I'd like to talk about this word urgency. Now, we define it as the state of requiring immediate attention or action. And I think it's an important word for all of our listeners to understand. Needing a sense of urgency on a fairly regular basis. If there's anything that I see is that a lot of people don't have a sense of urgency enough. We just kind of float through life.
We need to get it done.
And we actually do need a sense of urgency and realize that every day is valuable. Every hour is valuable. And
We used to have more of a sense of urgency. Bill, when I went to school, we finished all of our classes, grade mm-hmm. school, high school, and college. But nowadays you say, I think I'll take a year off and do something else in between. But, you know, we had to finish that. We had to be it. We had to graduate. There doesn't seem to be that sense of urgency so much now.
No, there doesn't.
Let's do something else for a while.
The sense of, you know, it's interesting. You made me think of something. The sense of urgency that we do see in those situations, and even today, is it's external. Mm. And this is something outside the person driving the person to have this sense of urgency, right? We've got a test. I've got to go to school. I've got to do this. The boss asked me that. That's all external. But actually, we need an internal sense of urgency. We need that drive inside of us to say, I am going to get this done. I can't waste my time. I can't waste my life. And that's why a sense of urgency, a personal sense of urgency, is so important.
Well, Bill, you're giving me a little sense of urgency now because we have to finish the story. And so it's time to go on. Aren't you getting a sense of urgency to finish the story?
A little.
A little bit. You know, that's good to use these words when we can. But let's go on to the story because – yesterday we find out he was going to get on the plane and the doors closed and somebody had stolen his ticket and his wallet. Now that is something that needs immediate attention.
He's having a bad week.
He's having a bad really week, bad. So I want to read more about it. And I hope you've all read this ahead of time. But let's read the rest of this interesting story today. Steve is going to continue reading now on page 43.
He quickly explained the situation to the attendant along with a description of the culprit. "I'll let security know," said the attendant, "but we can't hold this flight. You will have to stay until we are able to straighten this out." "But my whole family is waiting for me. There must be something you can do," exclaimed Samuel. "I'm sorry, sir, but circumstances are beyond our control," the attendant answered. "We will reassign you to another flight as soon as we can." By the time Samuel finally reached his grandparents' house, it was late and all the lights in the house were turned off. "I completely missed Thanksgiving," he thought. Wearily, he climbed the steps and pushed open the old front door.
So here we see poor Samuel. He's lost his boarding pass. He's lost his wallet. And the doors to the aircraft were closing. And as we know, airplanes don't wait.
No, they don't.
So he quickly explained the situation to the attendant, the gate attendant. And he also could describe, this is a great word, the culprit, the person responsible that he felt was responsible for stealing, or the pickpocket. So a culprit is somebody that's committed a crime. Or did something, broken something. You know, if you walk into your dining room and you see a lot of, like, dishes broken, you'd say, who's the culprit?
Sometimes your cat or your dog.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
A culprit could even not just be a person or an animal, but it also could be something, like bad software could be the culprit. Why did we lose all our files? Well, we had this breakdown in our software. That was the culprit.
Or you had one of those hackers. He could be the culprit, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But here it's the pickpocket, okay? Right. So Samuel explains it gives a description of this person to the attendant.
Of course, all airports have what they call their policemen or their security officers. They have them in hotels and airports and every place. And so the attendant just says, well, I'll let security know right about this, but, you know, we can't get on. He might have said, please, can I get on anyway? Do you think he might have pleaded with her a little bit?
I would.
I would. Yeah, can't you just
have you ever been there when the door just closed?
No.
Yes,
right in front of you?
I have been there.
It is
coming back to Taiwan.
Feeling.
Oh, really?
With my two children who were little.
Did you make it, though?
I made them run the entire length of an airport to get it.
And you got there just before that?
No, the plane was backing up.
What did you do then?
I connected through Atlanta. I connected through Denver, and I had to go to the service center and get on the next flight because it was my connecting flight to catch my flight back to Taiwan.
That was kind
and
of
if
scary.
I was frantic.
Yeah, you must have been a little. You wouldn't understand, but it's like the sense of urgency here, right? But anyway,
we made it. By the way.
You're here today.
The attendant didn't do anything. He said, you're just going to have to stay here until we get it all straightened out. But what did he say, Bill?
But my whole family is waiting for me.
Yeah.
There must be something you can do.
But what could she do? She couldn't do anything.
No, they couldn't. They just put me on the next flight, too, just like Samuel.
Well, the airlines, they all have certain requirements. They have procedures that they follow.
And they can stop the plane
anyway. One individual, this person trying to help him, cannot break the rules.
Well, if the door has not closed, I've sat there waiting for – but it is interesting. I think the last flight I was on, we sat and waited for somebody. I was like, who is this person we're waiting for? Very rare. But once the door is closed, they won't open it.
Right. Once the door is closed, you're done.
So I love this phrase, circumstances Oh, I'm sorry, but circumstances are beyond our control.
Right.
Well, we may have memorized that phrase.
But we'll reassign you to another flight as soon as we can.
Accept that phrase.
But, you know, how can you reassign him to another flight? No money, no pass. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
But, you know, she tried to calm him down again. And somehow or other, they did something. They helped him somehow. However
right.
he did it, I don't know. We don't need to know the details. But it was really very close. We would say touch and go. Is he going to make it or not, right?
That's right.
Well, there's always a way to get somebody to their destination. The problem is time.
And
that's
money.
Always the
yeah.
And money.
Yeah. So by the time he finally reached his house, instead of getting there that day, it was very late. And all the lights in the house were turned off. So I guess dinner's over. Everybody's gone to bed. It's all over. Wow. All the way across the country and all this, and there's nobody there. That's a pretty sad story so far.
How disappointing.
Yeah.
What did he say and what did he think, Bill?
I completely missed Thanksgiving, he thought. And he's looking at the house, and then he goes to proceed. He says, wearily, he climbed the steps and pushed open the old front door.
I like that word wearily or to be weary. It's more than just tired. Have you ever been weary?
Weary ass, kind of been overtired, right?
Yeah,
right.
You're completely exhausted.
So exhausted.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I did all this to get here and I didn't make it. You know, it is kind of a disappointing thing right here. And then he pushed open the old front door, didn't even knock or anything. I mean, you know, he
must have found the key. I'm sure they live in Seattle. That door was not unlocked.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes,
but
you know,
I think it's
if
a good
the family's
phrase.
Expecting you that.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe that's it. Maybe they have a key hidden somewhere. And so he, you know,
always look under the mat.
And then pushed open the door.
But sometimes, you know, if you're expecting company and stuff, you don't have the door locked either. You know, at a time like that. They could have just, the family were coming. But anyway, he pushed open
Poor
the door.
Thing. And makes me weary.
I completely miss Thanksgiving. So here I am, instead of just, you know, sitting down on the steps and thinking about it, he just tried to get in the house and, okay, everybody's in bed, but, you know, and you open the door. And then let's find out what happened.
Lights exploded all over the house. Surprise! Shouted a roomful of Samuel's family. Shocked and stunned, Samuel looked up to see his aunts, uncles, cousins, parents, and grandparents. His grandfather stepped forward and said, "We decided it wasn't Thanksgiving until everyone was here. So we waited until you arrived." As they sat down to an enormous meal, each family member reminisced about the past year and told something they were thankful for. When it was his grandfather's turn, he stood up and addressed everyone.
Well, this is strange because it was dark, but as soon as you opened the door, all of a sudden, all the lights came on. Wouldn't that be surprising?
Yeah.
Late at night and you're tired and all the lights come on?
Right.
Wow.
He pushes open the door. We say, the lights exploded all over the house. Well, actually, the lights all came on. I just want to clarify, there was not an explosion.
No.
the lights kind of came on real quickly.
I thought that's a very good usage of the language, you know?
It is, right.
Yeah. It shows how sudden and powerful that effect was.
And you know, it was a big surprise, and everybody said, surprise!
Surprise!
Sometimes they do that for your birthday or something.
Yes.
You go in somebody's house, and they're all hiding, and they turn the lights on when you walk in. Has that ever happened to you? Sometimes it does.
I think once or twice it has. It has been a big surprise.
It's kind of surprising.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever had that happen to me. But have you?
I don't remember.
I've done it for
other people.
Yeah, but I've been there for other people. Right.
And they really are surprised, you know, because
it normally scares the person.
Yeah. Wow, what's going on? Sometimes you wonder, am I dressed well enough or something like that, you know? Yeah. But there was all the people in his family, and he was shocked, you know, shocked. It's just shy, and he was stunned. He didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, yes. This both just means extremely, extremely surprised.
Right. Of course you would be.
I'm kind of speechless.
Yeah, that's true. And we looked up, and what did he see, Bill?
Well, he saw his aunts, uncles, cousins, parents, and grandparents.
So
the whole gang was there.
They were all there. That was the whole big family.
Yeah.
Boy, everybody. I tell you, that's really something.
Mm. Nobody must have met him at the airport. He probably took a taxi from the airport to his grandparents. Well,
they gave up on him.
Yeah, well, no, and they didn't know what plane
he took
was
so in. Long. They're like, they were at the airport 8 hours earlier, and they said, well, we're not even
No, he probably didn't even tell them what flight he was coming on. But, you know, most airports now have these limos that you can go around in different areas. But anyway, he got there. And his grandfather stepped forward, and his grandfather said, well, we decided it wasn't Thanksgiving till we were all here, so we waited. Well, how would you feel? You'd be really deeply moved, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd be very touched. Mm-hmm. It was very touching just to read it.
I mean, everybody hadn't even had dinner. They probably starved. They were just waiting for you. Oh, my goodness. How important did that make you feel?
Very.
Yeah. But they wanted everybody to be there. And that was certainly nice of them. I would have thought, well, let's eat first and we'll save a plate of turkey for him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll take it out later.
Yeah, we'll take it out later. But no, they knew he was coming and they waited. Oh, so finally, in the middle of the night or however late it was, they sat down and had a big Thanksgiving dinner, didn't they?
Yes. You know, I'm sure he felt very loved, you know, an important part of the family.
And they probably talked about, well, how come you're so late? And he had to tell them all the story of what happened. But they had the oven, kept the food warm, and all the women were getting it all on the table. And can't you just see the picture of it right now?
Yes, I can picture it in my mind, actually.
Well, they sat down to this enormous meal, and then each family member reminisced about the past year. So, and when we reminisce, that means that we, you know, think about things that happened in the past, and they usually have a nice warm glow to them, stories from the past, warm memories from the past.
Re means to redo something anyway, so reminisce means to think back. And I think we do that with friends that we haven't seen. Sometimes friends will come and visit you here, Linda, you haven't seen for ages, and you talk about when you were here 10 years ago or something. You often reminisce.
Right, we do. Especially we've had several sets of friends that have come through this past year, and we've spent time reminiscing. All of us have. So
it's kind of fun.
It's
good for your minds, too, because sometimes you forget things and somebody will bring up something you didn't remember and you kind of relive it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Relive. That's R-E again. Relive and reminisce. It's good. So they talked about, the times when they were little kids and when their grandpa did this. And it's a good family time. Makes you feel good to be part of a family, doesn't it?
Yes. And they also talked about what they were thankful for, we see there in line 26. And again, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. It's really important
to do that.
And many families will go around the table
at
Thanksgiving and say, what's something everybody's thankful for? And it's a really good exercise
for
everybody.
Even the little kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to say that. Thank you for my mommy and dad. You know, they all say it.
We always asked our kids to do that, you know, to say something at Thanksgiving in particular, what they've been thankful for. You're right. It's very good for them.
Sometimes we forget about all the nice things that we have. We think of what we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But at Thanksgiving, we can be thankful. We have a house. We have a place to sleep. We have food. We have so much. We don't have to be millionaires. We can be thankful for what we have.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Be thankful we have life, you know.
So in the very end, of course, because it was his grandfather's house, the old family home that some of them had grown up in, the grandfather, it was his turn. So he said, okay, everybody, we've been eating this good food, and now I have something to say to everyone. This is a very important time in the story.
It is a very important time. And it is signaled by the word, he stood up and addressed everyone, because that word is – actually, we usually use it in a formal setting, you know.
Giving a speech.
Right. But so it's not used, so you know it's an important time because of that word.
Right.
And so now we're going to find out why everybody's here, why Samuel had to travel all the way across the country to get there.
It was fun to be there, I'm sure of that, but he thought there's more than that. So let's finish the story now.
I am thankful for a good life, a great business, and a wonderful family, all of whom were able to make it home for Thanksgiving. This is an exceedingly special Thanksgiving because of some important news I have to share. Last month, I sold my business for twice its worth to some entrepreneurs. So, as a special gift, you each will be receiving $10,000. Thank you so much for making this one of the most special Thanksgivings this family has ever had.
Okay, so we find out what this is all about, what they're waiting for. He was thankful that he had a good life. Well, that's nice. And he was a pretty good businessman, I guess. He was also thankful for the family. And he thanked everybody for coming home. And that was nice, wasn't it?
It is very nice. And it's also very rare that all of them made it.
That's true.
You know,
right.
Usually there are maybe one or two that can't make it.
And that's why they thought it was exceedingly special. I mean, it was something very special.
Yes.
I don't
yeah.
think our family's ever all gotten together because there's eight kids in the family and they're all someplace in the world. And mm-hmm. we keep talking about getting together, but somebody's always in another country or something.
Yes.
Very hard to get the whole family together.
Yeah, that's – I had underlined exceedingly also, Doris. And, you know, it's an adverb to mean something beyond being special. You mentioned these large dinners. I can only think of – maybe three times in my life for Thanksgiving dinner where we would have such a crowd. Yeah, I get together with maybe a couple of aunts or uncles and maybe my brother on Thanksgiving, but it is exceedingly rare to have like 20 people at a
dinner. We used to have about 30 yeah. when I was a kid because, mm-hmm. you know, but there are eight in our family, and my mom and dad, that was 10, and my cousins and my uncle and their kids. So we could easily get to 30 without too much trouble.
I've been at several of those, and my mom comes from – she has 12 brothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah, so they get – yeah, it's kind of a big family,
yeah.
you know. But it's kind of hard to get everybody together when they're growing up. But it is nice to get together with their family. I've been to some Chinese families during Chinese New Year when they've had a whole floor of a restaurant when there's about – 12 or 15 tables of people or so because all of their relatives for Chinese New Year. So you understand
yeah.
this.
Yes.
Chinese people understand the big family reunion stuff very much. But he did have some very exciting news, Bill.
Well, yes. This news is last month I sold my business for twice its worth to some entrepreneurs.
So our good businessmen, entrepreneurs.
Right. So these entrepreneurs, they saw his business as an opportunity for them to make money, so they bought the business from him, and they paid a premium for it.
And I guess he was probably thinking it's time to retire, and mm-hmm. you know, and here was a good opportunity to sell his business. And I think that was really great thing for him. That was a good announcement, wasn't it?
Yes.
He probably thought, well, good. Grandpa's a pretty good businessman. Sold his business.
Well, that
he was
tone
very
of urgency
happy.
He got back, that Samuel got before, he probably was expecting the worst.
Maybe
don't
my grandfather's
yeah.
got cancer or something. Or
yes.
maybe he's going to tell us he's not going to live. We always think of those kind of
That's
things.
That's right, we
but
do.
But this was good news, wasn't it?
Yes, this was very good news.
Right. And then this part is even very special, Bill.
So, as a special gift, you each will be receiving $10,000.
U.S., remember.
U.S., yes. So, that's pretty good. Now, trying to think about the number of people there, right? We're talking 20
people.
Or 30 people.
Right.
We're talking $200,000 or $300,000.
Well,
so
that's not much. If he sold his business, that's good.
Yeah. So, you know, he's handing out a good bit of money to everybody. So, and this is a gift. He wants to share this. He has done well in the business, and he's not doing it to bribe anybody or influence their choices
in any
way.
They're not leaving it in his will when he's gone. He's saying,
right.
you need the money now.
He's just giving it to them now.
That was
right.
smart, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said that he says thank you for making it special. In other words, they're all saying thank you, Grandpa. I mean, he made it special, but he says thank you for coming and
yeah.
making it special. He was so moved that the family loved him enough to come.
That's right. And also, you know, usually often we're like, oh, I'm glad I came because this was so special to me. But actually, you can see the love in his grandfather's heart for his whole family.
It's a very touching story.
One of the most special Thanksgiving that this family has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling they had to work hard for everybody to get together.
Right.
You know, it wasn't an easy feat.
They were from probably different California and every place.
People from all over.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering if there are any other relatives, any other cousins or brothers or sisters that like, I'm not going there, and I'm just going to stay.
No, I don't think so, because it says
they all got together.
It says that
Yeah.
That they all came, yeah. right?
They all came. Yeah.
So, all of whom were able to make it home.
So they all,
wow,
everybody
okay.
was there.
All right.
So that was good, wasn't
all right,
it?
So nobody regretted missing it.
So you yeah. know exactly what Samuel is going to think because he's going to pay the bills and start his business. But I think it's not only the money.
No.
I think the fact that the grandfather didn't wait and to put it all in his will until he was gone. He sold the business and he shared it. And, you know, I think it's good to share what we have now. I like to share what I have now because when you're gone, you don't know what people are going to do with it. And so if any of you people have things to share with your family, share them now when they need them, when they're alive.
That's right. I totally agree. I mean, we tried to share with our kids now.
Right.
I might not
leave them much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can share what we have.
Right. That's what we all
yeah.
need to do.
I like that because the grandfather did not use the money as either a hook or a hammer.
No.
He didn't tell anybody about the money ahead of time. And there was no such thing as, well, you need to do this for me and then I will give you a reward,
right.
you know, of this money.
No, he loved
it. He just did it without telling anybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to see the joy in their faces when he did it.
And remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
That's right.
And it's a good time at Thanksgiving to give out love to people, to receive love and give it out. But when you do have things, share them with people, not only your relatives, the people around you. And you'll find that you will get more back in love than those things you gave away. The only things you ever have are what you give away. That was written by a poet once.
That's right.
And if you give it away, it comes back.
Yes, it's very, very true.
So that's the moral of the story. It's a good story. I hope you liked it. And sometime we'll have a story again. Let us know. Check our websites and our letters. And let us know if you like stories now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd be glad to hear from everybody what their experience is with family dinners like this, whether it's Thanksgiving or Lunar New Year.
So whether you have Thanksgiving or not, the Canadians have a different day than the Americans, and you have harvest festivals, but let's make every day a day of Thanksgiving. So thanks for coming today, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you.